I'm so excited to be welcoming you back to the first episode of Series 3 of the Nutrition Nourishment Podcast, a podcast where I talk with my guests through their nutrition journeys. I'm Amelia and your host of the Nutrition Nourishment Podcast. A little has changed with me since I last spoke on here. I am still a student studying my MSc in Clinical and Public Health Nutrition, but I am now also a registered associate nutritionist after applying via portfolio to the AFN with my undergraduate degree in food science and nutrition and work experience. As always, nothing that is said on this podcast should be taken as personalised nutritional advice. If you'd like nutrition advice, you can contact a registered nutritionist or dietitian or your GP. Other resources available to you include the NHS and the BDA websites. Now, let's get on with the podcast. I am so excited to be launching Series 3's podcast with the lovely Alicia. In this episode, we learn about Alicia's journey within the food industry and nutrition, what work experience she gained while at school that helped to guide her through studies to her MSc in food security and development. Alicia shares with us some personal memories about her journey, which have accumulated into a very exciting job which she has a great passion for within sustainability, a topic that we talk about today. Welcome to the Nutrition Nourishment Podcast, sharing our journeys. Good morning, Alicia. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you very much. It's a lot better weather today than it was yesterday, so feeling like I might go out for a walk later.
That sounds lovely. So to start off today, would you tell us just a little bit about you?
Yeah, of course. So I'm Alicia. I'm 22. I currently living at home with my parents in Guildford in Surrey. I just finished my master's, which was in food security and development, and I studied at the University of Reading. I just recently started a new job. I just passed my 2-month mark, so I started that job in November. So very busy working from home, just sort of getting into a new routine of not being at uni and being back with my parents. But yeah.
Congratulations on your new job. That sounds really exciting, and I can't wait to pick your brains on that a little bit more later on. First, let's go back to the very beginning of your nutrition journey. When did you first become aware or think that you wanted your future to be within food and nutrition?
So at school, I was definitely a more science person, but I wasn't good at biology. I wasn't good at chemistry. I enjoyed them. I thought it was really interesting. So then I sort of settled for food technology because, especially during GCSE and A-level, there was a lot of food science incorporated, obviously nutrition. And then I did biology at A-level as well. So that's helped with my understanding of the biochemistry. So that's where it really started in terms of academic interest in nutrition. Otherwise, I always have enjoyed baking and cooking. Food is a big passion of mine. I've always done it with my mum and my family and my nan. So it's always sort of been in my life, if that makes sense. So it just sort of worked out really well to go on and study that in further education. And I was very lucky in that sense.
That your passions and your personal life came together with those academic interests.
Yeah, 100%. And I didn't really think when I was at school, like, oh, I'm going to go on to study nutrition and food science. I was sort of a bit, do I do biology? Do I do English? But it just sort of came down to the fact that I was really interested in that and that I really enjoy food and cooking and learning about it. So it really worked out well.
That's exciting. What's your favourite thing to bake and what's your favourite thing to cook?
Oh my gosh. So at the moment, I've been baking some cantuccini, which are like little Italian biscuits that you have with coffee. And they're really, really easy to make. And they're super good because you can dip them in dark chocolate. So I've been doing that. And then things to cook, I've really been enjoying sweet and sour dishes, stir fries, that sort of thing. I'm a vegetarian, so I've been exploring a lot with meat replacements at the moment as well. It's been really good exploring new dishes and stuff. So yeah.
Yeah, I think you said the key word there, like exploring different things. I remember when I started to go more plant-based, what I really enjoyed about it was discovering new foods and new ways of cooking that I hadn't really thought of before.
Yeah, 100%. And new flavours, I can explore different veggies, different pulses, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I'm really enjoying looking into new different foods to cook.
Do you have any advice for anyone who's thinking about maybe going a bit more plant-based, where they could start or what alternatives they could look for?
I think for me, just to try new things, get a few recipe books definitely helped, because if you're like, how do I make bolognese into a vegetarian bolognese, that you just don't know. So it's good to get inspiration from recipe books and blogs and stuff.
And I'm just going to pick up on that example of bolognese. Even if you're not choosing to go vegetarian, vegetarian cookbooks have advice, for example, put lentils in your bolognese, and that adds a source of fiber, which is fantastic. And also, I would say with going more plant-based, like being plant-based doesn't mean completely cutting out animal products. It can do, but it just means reducing and having more of a focus on plant foods in your diet. So I think that's quite an exciting route to explore.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think that's really important that people know there's no right and wrong answer. Like, it's a spectrum. You can dip in and out of it. And that's the whole excitement of food and nutrition.
Something that's comfortable. And I also like the thought that it's sustainable for you. I've written an article which goes into sustainability, and I know it's a passion of yours too, so I'm sure we'll chat a bit more about it. But a sustainable diet is one that's sustainable for the environment, but it's also sustainable for you, and it's something that you enjoy, because it's coming back to passions. And I'm sure why yourself and I both got into food and nutrition, which is a passion for food and enjoying it.
Yeah, 100%. For me, at the end of the day, it's all about enjoyment. So I think that's really important advice.
You mentioned at school that you were sciencey, you enjoyed biology, a bit of food science. Where did you first hear about maybe studying nutrition as a university course?
Yeah, so it was actually one of my teachers who was like the careers advisor at school. She got an email from the University of Reading about a food and nutrition summer school, which I've since volunteered at as a student when I was there. So I've been involved with it for a good few years now. And I was very hesitant. I was like, I'm going to be away from my family for a few days. I don't know anybody. I don't even know if I want to study this. But my teacher really encouraged me and was sort of like, you need to do this. You need to see what it's like. Mm-hmm. So that was really important. I know that's not available to everyone, but even open days, so important, going to see and speaking to the students and really getting a feel for what the course is about, what the uni is about. But that was the first time that I really thought, what, this is for me. I'm going to start looking into writing personal statements in this direction and all of that sort of thing. It just sort of happened, really. I was very fortunate.
With that summer school, could you tell us a little bit more about it? What year did you go there?
So it must have been year 12, which is lower sixth form, because I hadn't started writing my personal statements and stuff yet. So the summer school is hosted by Uni of Reading every year in July, I believe. And it's basically a 3-day stay for sixth form students. You can go there who are interested in food science, who are interested in nutrition, food technology. You get a tour around the campus, the pilot plant that we use. We have speakers from industry come in, placement students. It's just like a really, really good 3-day crash course on food science and nutrition. And you also do some practicals. So I think very good, varied experience. And I'm really glad that I managed to do it.
That's fantastic. It's actually funny. My degree was at Leeds, but I went to the University of Reading when I think I was, must have been 15 or 16 for some work experience. I loved the campus, and the pilot plant is fantastic.
It is so cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and I definitely agree. Getting that hands-on experience, knowing what you're going into, I think as well as confirming that you want to do it, it makes the prospect of going to university a bit less daunting.
100%, because you stay in halls, so like,
ooh,
I know it is scary before, because you're like, I'm comfortable being a school student, I don't know much about uni, you're just kind of apprehensive. But I think it is, everyone's in the same boat when you get there, and everyone there doesn't know each other, and you've all pushed yourself, which is what it's going to be like when you do arrive at uni. So like I said before, a crash course in uni life and also the course itself.
Thinking about all of this is actually giving me the butterflies of excitement I felt as well. Once you know you want to do it and where you want to go, it's so exciting.
It is. I realise a lot of people don't have that, and they won't, especially this year with COVID. I don't know if open days are even happening. I know it is a lot different. I do feel for those people who haven't been able to get those experiences, which is why hopefully they'll listen to this and think, oh, that sounds good.
Definitely. And I know you just brought up how lucky we are, and also that those opportunities might not be around this year because of the pandemic. From a little bit of personal experience I have this year, because I'm currently studying my master's, yeah, I know a lot of things are virtual. It's not the same, it's very different. But from the universities that I have spoken with, there are still opportunities to speak online with current students. Yeah. And I think that's the best alternative currently to get a feel for what the university's like, what the yeah. course is like, to hear directly from the people currently studying it, and then going out and getting any other virtual online experience that you possibly can, even like reading others' articles, talking to others, yeah. getting a conversation started. It's just looking for alternatives at the moment.
Yeah, 100%. And I think when you're before you go to uni and you're a student and you've got A-levels, I remember feeling very anxious about uni and what I wanted to do with my life. And it is an investment, but you just have to make sure that you're going to be happy at the end of it and that you get the right experience out of it.
I think you highlighted an important point there, which was making sure you're happy. Like, I know this podcast is for people within nutrition and food and dietetics, so if anyone else is listening, it's just making sure that you're happy with what you're doing. And if it's yeah. not, there's opportunities to swap over courses, especially within that first year.
Yes, 100%. And I even contemplated that during my second year. Wow. I was like, I really struggled with the chemistry aspect of the first year, mm-hmm. but then I got a tutor who was really, really lovely, so you just sort of had to make those connections. But even in my second year, I was thinking, I don't know if I can do this. I'm so glad that carried on, obviously. But yeah, it is all just about communication with others and making sure that you are happy. And if you're not, then it might not be the right thing for you, and you can go in a different direction in life.
That's such great advice, and thank you for sharing that personal experience with us.
That's okay.
What did you most enjoy about studying nutrition at university?
So, like I just said, I struggled in first year. Mm-hmm. Second year, I had some personal problems, so that wasn't great. The best year for me was actually my final year, because yeah. it was dissertation, which everyone's like, oh, dissertations. As at the moment, it's such a big thing. But yeah. also, when you pick a subject that you're really, really interested in, which I did, it just sort of flowed, and I really, really enjoyed doing the research, reading the literature, working with lecturers who are interested in the same thing. That was where I was like, what, this is really cool. I'm doing an original piece of research that other people might not necessarily know about or read about. That was my favourite part. I know it sounds weird because it was at the end, but I'd learned all the theory then. I've done all the practicals. I knew independently I can write about this confidently and know what I'm talking about. So I really enjoyed the dissertation, which sounds weird because I know so many people really don't.
No, I completely understand that. And also going through the journey, I think in final year, you know what you're doing. You know how long it takes to walk to your lectures, or you know what building you're going to. You know who to speak to if there is a problem. Yeah. And as you say with dissertation, I enjoyed my undergraduate one too, because it was a topic that I enjoyed. I think my best advice for picking dissertations is reach out to a whole host of different tutors on topics yeah. that you might be interested in, and go and talk with them, but really chat with them and see where their passions lay and where they want to take it. And then you could point out like, oh, what if we take it in this direction, and really make it your own. Do you have yeah. any advice on dissertations?
100%. My undergrad one was a couple of years ago. So I've got my master's one, which I've just finished. I loved doing that. And at the beginning, I had this idea and I couldn't find a supervisor. So I had to contact so many different people in the department. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so stressful. I'm never going to find someone who wants to help me with this journey of my dissertation. Eventually I did. And it worked out so well because we were both really passionate about the subject. So like you said, it is all just about communicating with others and making connections, because also, it will be very beneficial for later life to fall back on them. You never know when you might think, oh, I wonder if my supervisor's working on yeah. a new project to do with XYZ, and that might relate to your work in work experience at the moment. So it is all about networking and making those connections, which often you do in university without even realising, because you go to lectures, you get to know your lecturers, you get to know people who run your practicals. So yeah, it is, like you said, yeah, just all about communication and making sure you get the right supervisor.
Yes. And I think from what you were just saying, perseverance as well, that there might not have been that title or someone who wanted to do that topic straight away, but you clearly went around and you had a look. From your undergraduate dissertation to your postgraduate dissertation, was there any link between your topics?
So my undergrad was on the comparison of animal agriculture and climate change and fumes, all of that, to insect farming and consuming insects. So it was a lot about the environment and consumer behaviour as well. And then there was a section on nutrition, food processing as well of the insects, and whether consumers are more likely to eat it if it's in a burger form than it is like, here's a packet of mealworms, because the protein content is similar to that of meat. I did it such a long time ago now, I'm trying to remember. But that was my undergrad. And then my postgrad was on hydroponics and aquaponics, which is basically growing plants without the use of soil, so growing it within water-based solutions, and then combining fish aquaculture with that as well. So the fish provide the plants with the nutrients they need, and the decaying plants provide the fish with the nutrients they need. So it's like a very renewable recirculating system that can work in places where food security, they don't have much food availability, is very low. So I did it on that. So I sort of have similar-ish, because my postgraduate was also based on climate change and natural disasters. My undergrad was based on the impact of animal agriculture and that on the environment. Both food security related, I think, which is why I went on to study that in my master's. But yeah, I was very interested in both of my topics. And I think I was fortunate that I came up with ideas, but I only came up with the ideas from reading around a lot, asking questions, thinking truly, what do I want to know? And that flowed, and I managed to find a good supervisor as well. So yeah.
That's really amazing. And I can't wait to talk to you a little bit more about those in just a second. But you just mentioned how your undergraduate dissertation about food security maybe helped to inspire the master's. At what point did you know that you wanted to study a master's? And then how did you go about choosing the one that you chose?
So it kind of just happened, right? I didn't think before I started my undergrad, like, I'm going to do a master's. But I was looking at courses and I was like, I kind of want to do further education. Maybe a master's will do, because it's one extra year of really intense learning on a subject that I'm really interested in. And food security and development taught me so much, this course, about policy, development, nutrition, worldwide nutrition, so much climate change, systems. It was so varied because you got to pick your modules. And that's what I think about you might find with your master's as well. It is quite independent and you can decide the journey of your learning. In my master's, I actually think I could pick all of them other than two.
Oh, wow.
Two were compulsory.
That's really cool. I think my master's is slightly different. I actually have 100% of core modules, which but I do get what you mean, where it is more independent in terms of talking with tutors, finding dissertation topics. I went and found my own dissertation topic because I could see something that I was passionate about, but it wasn't actually meant for my course. So I just went and spoke to the supervisor and was like, would you possibly consider taking on a clinical and public health and nutrition student? And there's a lot more of extra learning that you can do to support your studies.
Yes, for sure. So when I moved home in March, from March last year to beginning of October, that was my dissertation. I got an extension because I had so much extra to do. But it paid off because I actually got awarded the highest mark for the year. So that was
wow!
Cool.
Congratulations!
I was pretty chuffed about that.
That's
so
amazing.
It is just finding something you're passionate about. And I get that it can be hard straight away in your first year at uni. You're like, what am I going to enjoy? I don't know. But by the time you do get to your final year, you find your niche and you find what you want to learn about more.
Yeah,
that's the main thing. Is learning the theory, learning the basics, and then interpreting that into something more interesting that you're interested about to write for your dissertation.
Definitely. The dissertation seems like such a daunting task, but by the time you get around to it, it's not as daunting as it might have seemed at the very beginning. Regarding climate change, sustainability and food security, do you have any advice for us on maybe reading or websites or somewhere that we could look to go and learn a bit more?
My understanding of it was all academic.
Mm-hmm.
I reckon there's a bunch of TED Talks about it. I'm sure that there will be, and they're really good because they're quite short and snappy. The people who produce them are very passionate. I'd love to have a look for you advance of publishing this podcast.
Maybe what we could do is link some into the description of this podcast episode for people to have a look at.
Yeah, because some people might not know what food security is.
Yeah.
I'm rambling about food security. It's basically having safe, sustainable, accessible food, in short. So I reckon let's find some TED Talks. I'll find some for you and we can link them.
Thank you.
I reckon that would be quite good for people to just click and be like, what's this? Understand it better.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I would love to watch some TED Talks on this topic as well. So before we get on to where you're at right now, what kind of work experience or volunteering experience did you gain throughout maybe either school or during university that you really feel helped you get to where you are?
So my first ever work experience was at Marks and Spencer's.
Yeah.
My sister worked there in the food hall. This was probably during my GCSEs.
Mm-hmm.
Where I just started doing food technology. I knew I was keen on food. I liked eating food. I liked baking, but I wasn't like, I want to do this at uni. You had to do week work experience during GCSEs anyway. And I was like, what am I going to do? So I did a week work experience at Marks & Spencer's working. And that was really interesting because I got to see all the food products. Obviously it's retail. So it's quite different to what we study because it's like business. So I did that. And then I think we had another work experience a year later. And I actually went to a pathology lab in Royal Surrey, where I got to look at how they prepare, how they handle samples. Mm. I also spent a day with some dietitians and they taught me about the feeding tubes and all of that. And that quickly confirmed for me that I did not want to work in a hospital and also made me realise I'm not sure if I want to go down the biology route. So even though the work experiences were compulsory in terms of my school, you are the one who goes out and seeks that.
Yeah.
And I knew I'd done retail experience. I looked in working in the supermarket aspect. And then I knew that I wanted to look at, like dietetics, working in a hospital as well to see if I wanted to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So both of them kind of confirmed for me what I did want and what I didn't want.
Yeah.
And then from the age of 17 until last year, I worked in Waitrose as a supermarket assistant. And I also, through that, managed to do work experience. So I've been to a few food factories. That's also through links with the university. That's another thing, I think. When you have industry talk, introduce yourself.
Definitely.
That work experience that I gained and then ended up working at Waitrose was like the most important thing because I could take that to my interview. So yeah, definitely just think about what you might want to do. Do work experience in those different areas and then you can think more. So I think that's the advice I give, is just try out different things if you can. And then volunteering at summer schools, which I did when I was at uni as well, it all linked together and helped me realise what I want to do. But I don't still really know what I want to do.
Well, where your passions lie and you're still discovering it. And I think that's what a whole journey is about, just still learning about where you want to go with it. And I think what you've highlighted there, firstly, is that there are so many areas that you can go into within food and nutrition.
Yeah.
And also you said just doing experience in the rough areas that you might want to go into, because it's almost as valuable gaining that experience and learning, I don't want to go into that, than doing the experience and saying, I do want to go into that. Because at least it's like that you can tick off the list and say, I tried it, it's not for me. And that's so, so important. And that other piece of advice with regards to those industry talks, going and introducing yourself, or I mean, as someone who is learning online at the moment, sending an email after lecture. So we have quite a few guest lecturers coming in. And if their area is something that I'm really interested in, or they said something that I'm like, I would like to learn more about that, send them an email afterwards, send them a LinkedIn message, follow them. They've got a lot of interesting things to share.
Yeah, that's so true. Like, as long as you've done the experience, even if it was bad, like me within the hospitals, I know that I don't want to do that. I don't have to go into my future career thinking, oh, I'm going to apply for this job in a hospital, get the job and end up hating it. So it is really important to just explore. I know at the moment it's so difficult, but there are things out there that will be, like companies are adapting.
Yeah.
And it's all just about communication, LinkedIn, getting your name out there, just networking.
Exactly. It all comes back to networking and talking to people, going back to your industry talks, introducing yourself, saying, hi, this is me. And you might not be right for that person, but they might know someone that you might be right for. It's a whole world out there of connections.
Yeah. And it's just all about trying, keep going and keep persevering with it. And then hopefully you will get something. It's all about connections and networking, like we said.
And I know we've touched on this a little bit, but what are the areas of food and nutrition that interest you most today?
From studying my master's now, it would be the accessibility of food and the future farming methods that we can introduce. So I work for Waitrose and Partners at their head office, and I've been involved with a vertical farming project that we're starting to do.
Wow.
I was contacted about my dissertation that I did. I don't know how they found out that I did that, but that was really cool. And it's stuff like that really excites me because you just never know when things are going to fall into place. But anyway, I'm really interested in learning about alternative farming techniques and more sustainable ways of farming, especially in replacement of, as I mentioned, animal agriculture, and ensuring that the food is still nutritious, the quality is still there. I find that really interesting. And I'm so fortunate that at the moment that's part of my actual job. Like, it's just the coolest thing to be able to go to work thinking, I've got this meeting with this aquaponics or hydroponics guy, and it's just going to be so cool.
You clearly worked very hard on your dissertation, and the hard work does pay off in the end. Like, it's a few years now since you started in the nutrition world, but look at that amazing opportunity. And that's, you say you don't know how they heard about your dissertation, but it's obviously through word of mouth. It's been passed on, which is incredible. Well done.
Thank you so much. I haven't really told many people, but it is super exciting because I was so passionate about that topic in my dissertation. The fact that it could actually happen in a leading supermarket that I've only just started working for is pretty epic.
It is.
It is an exciting industry. I think you'll find that as well. Mm-hmm. I know you're more into like clinical nutrition and stuff, but the food industry is really cool. And we always need food and people to work in it, whether it be at supermarket level, nutritional level, or where I am at in quality.
Yeah. I find the whole food industry really fascinating. My undergraduate degree is actually food science and nutrition. And I thought it was really vital to get that food basis and an understanding of the industry to know where food comes from. Could you just explain to us a little bit about vertical farming?
Yeah, sure. So I mentioned before, hydroponics is the method of farming where you grow crops like leaves, plants, you can grow vegetables, you can grow some fruits without the use of soil. So it's very beneficial in countries where there's drought, where the soil is really dry, or when there's flooding or waterlogging of soils, where there's basically where the soil condition just isn't right. So vertical farming is a commercial way of doing hydroponics where they're stacked on top of each other in units. Maybe we can find a TED talk about vertical farming as well, because
definitely,
it's so cool, and it's becoming more and more popular.
It's fantastic to hear about your passions and sustainability, as people who've listened to the podcast since the beginning will know is a real passion of mine, especially being within the food and nutrition industry and agriculture having such a big impact on the environment. But we all need food. Finding these inventive new ways, and that's why it's so fascinating to hear from you and about what you're interested in. And I'm personally very excited to have a look at these TED Talks. Which brings us on to the subject of Instagram. How long have you been on Instagram?
Probably since like 2013. I've had my food account for a very long time. Only really started posting on it properly during university. But for me, I don't see it as a chore or work or anything. It is just for fun, which I really wanted it to be. I just think I really enjoy following people for food inspiration. So I wanted to do the same thing. But also it not be pressured into like, I must post on this day. I think it's important to use it in moderation
Definitely. I feel the same. When I started posting a bit more regularly, it was because I wanted to share more about nutrition and food because I had some experience I wanted to share with others. And I now post when I've got something to share, when I think something's interesting. But also what I enjoy about it is sharing what amazing information other people have posted.
That's so true. And also there are so many benefits of it. Like me and you, we wouldn't have met without it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be doing this podcast. I wouldn't have learned all of these things from you and from other people. And it is such an amazing resource, but you just have to use it responsibly. This is just my advice. We want it to be fun. That's the whole point about this whole chat, is that food is fun. Nutrition is fun.
And it's so much fun to learn from others. Like, I've learned so much from you today about more of the food industry, about sustainability. It's a passion of mine. And to be able to talk to someone who's researched it is an amazing opportunity. Obviously, there are things to be wary about, and you need to be following people who are sharing evidence-based and positive messages.
Yes, 100%. That's the key thing. And it's definitely taken me a good few years to figure out who's posting scientific based facts. So yeah, it is important that you follow the right people. And also, like I said, it's meant to be fun, and I've definitely found it to be fun. Hopefully you have.
That's
as well.
Amazing.
I know yours is more like sharing information and stuff, but that to me is really cool and fun as well, because you get to learn, like you said, get to learn from other people.
Yeah, and I like having the opportunity to think, oh, I want to post about this, I'm going to go learn about it, and it's somewhere to share it. That's what excites me. And I guess, summing up your advice, would it be
in terms of university and learning what you want to do, just try get as much experience as you can, because then even if it's bad experience, like we said, at least you've done it and that you don't want to go into that field. And it's fine to come out of your degree as well and not know what you want to do. It's fine not to have a straight path. That's the whole point of life in your career, is to experience different things and just have fun.
I just have a couple more questions for you. Firstly, it is, how have you found that your inspirations within food and nutrition have changed over the years?
I think from going vegetarian, it's changed. That's definitely changed my way of thinking, because I do think it's such a more sustainable way of living, and especially for the future. I think it's so important that we start acting now, and that's really changed my views on food from when I was at school to now. I get inspired by people who are posting things about veganism and climate change and simple swaps that you can make, zero waste. So yeah, I think that's, hopefully that answers your question. It's not inspiration as such, but it's just how my thoughts of it have changed.
Yeah, definitely. And I know you've touched a little bit on, there's so many potential things in the future, but what is next for you?
So
it's a big one.
That's a big question. My absolute goal of work is to work abroad and set up a food security increasing food bank or program or farming methods with communities. I'd love to do community-based work. I want to help people using what I've learned, especially during my master's, in terms of policy-based and social policy and learning about the theories of development. I think it's so important that now I've learned them to put them into practice. I really want to help others as well, and that's a big goal of mine, is to be able to work and live abroad and to help make a difference with food accessibility.
That's really inspirational, and I'm excited to see where your journey is next to take you.
Thank you.
Could you sum up for us in a sentence, a few words, or a quote, advice that you would give to people on their journeys within food and nutrition?
So when you said a quote, I have a tattoo, which I got when I was at a low point in my life. And I was like, I need something. And it's, you've got to nourish to flourish. And that's one of my, whenever I think, oh, I just don't want to do this today, I look at it and I'm just, I know it sounds a bit cringy, but I'm like, I have to nourish my mind, my body, everything, in order to be the best version of myself. And I think that applies academically, lifestyle, personal, everything. The main thing is that you're happy, and you can't achieve what you want to achieve if you're not. So yeah, whatever you want to take from that, you've got to nourish to flourish. And I think that's an important, to me, very personal statement.
That's amazing. I absolutely love that quote. Thank you so much for being here today and sharing your journey with us. If you don't follow Alicia already, you can find her on Instagram at leashlovesfood.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
Thank you so much, Alicia, for joining me today and sharing your journey and experiences with us. Your advice to give lots of things a go and find what you love is something that has really stood out to myself. And thank you to all of you listeners who have joined me back on the journey of this podcast. If you love hearing about others' journeys as much as I love to share them, please give this podcast a 5-star review. It will help us to reach more people. I wish Alicia and all of you luck on your journeys. I hope you join me the week after next to discover more journeys in nutrition.